You're listening to the Fantasy 411 Podcast. Now here are Mike Ciano and Corey Schwartz.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the MLB.com Fantasy 411 Podcast Show Graham Extravaganza. Mike Ciano along with Corey Stats Schwartz. Thanks to Dylan Higgins, Steve Adams, Fred Zinke for filling in the past couple weeks. Good job out of them, and you'll be hearing a lot more from them. So get used to it, boys and girls.
Look forward to it. Fred's soft Canadian tone.
As wow, that caught me off. As George Steinbrenner once said, it's time to let some of the elephants in the other elephants in the tent.
Let some dogs off the porch.
Let some dogs off the porch. All that good stuff. So we will be expanding the 411 family in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for that. We're looking forward to it just because we're old and lazy, mainly. But a lot of news to get to today. So excited about this week's podcast. Obviously, all the trade deadline drama has been heating up. Nothing more crazy, I think, than it was fun. You know, I'm not big on Twitter as I used to be. I don't really tweet anymore. I don't read it as much as I used to. But because of what happened in Citi Field last night, it was fun to be on Twitter once again. In a train wreck type of way.
You don't want to do the housekeeping before we dive in?
No, I don't want to do the housekeeping all right, today. I'm mixing it up. You know why I don't want to do the housekeeping? Because I haven't pulled up Goose's show sheet.
We'll do it at the end. Yeah, the so here's the first lesson. And well, I think during
some
this
lessons,
show.
Life not, lessons.
I think during this show, during today's showgram extravaganza, as you would call it, mm-hmm. we'll focus on what has happened,
we
what
will.
Is concrete, and what is known.
Yeah.
But, and I think there's a reason for that. If there's one big takeaway from the Wilmer Flores deal that didn't happen, it's that...
I like that you call it the Wilmer Flores deal.
You shouldn't believe any trade until you see the press release.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you read it on the website of your favorite club, brewers.mlb.com or mets.mlb.com.
Also very true.
Or you see it being reported as official on MLB Network or some other reputable outlet. My point is...
Not taking a shot at the network, but don't forget
sure.
the type of people that work for all networks.
My point is, until it's official,
yeah.
it's not official.
Yeah.
We've seen
basically don't trust writers.
Time, no, it's not don't trust writers. It's don't buy into rumors until the trade happens. And frankly, that's why I don't get too hyped up around trade deadline until I see the trade actually happen.
Now, maybe I saw behind a few curtains you didn't. There were certain reporters on the national level that said this was done.
Oh, yeah.
The word D-O-N-E was used.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
and
just saying.
I read that from other reporters who
okay.
said, I have a source who confirmed this deal was done,
yep.
and this team backed out, and it doesn't matter what team.
But we didn't hear the backed out 50-50. Part. We only heard the done part.
Point is, until you see that press release, the deal isn't done.
I agree 100%.
And we got burned on this. Those who are, you know, longtime listeners of the 411 may remember a couple of years ago, right before the All-Star break, the Yankees acquired Cliff Lee.
Mm.
And we did a show...
Yes, we did.
We taped a whole show talking about the impact of Cliff
that's
Lee
right.
to the Yankees, and by the time we got to the airport, because we were flying out to All-Star...
Oh, that's right. We were sitting at the bar looking up going, uh-oh.
They traded him to the... they traded him to the... To what? The Rangers.
Rangers or the Mariners.
Yeah, the Mariners traded him the Rangers,
yeah.
and that's how they got Justin Smoke.
Right.
We were sitting at the bar
yep.
having our pre-flight food and beverage.
Yep. Adult.
Watching our own faces
variety.
On the TV
that's right.
say something that didn't happen.
Yep.
The lesson here is until you see the press release, there is no trade. That's why you can't, you know, look, the speculation is fun. It's exciting. Who's going to get this guy and who's going to get, you mm-hmm. know, who's going to get Tyson Ross and who's going to get Matt Latos or whoever you care about at the moment. The fact is, look, they said this to, you know, we've heard this for years and years and years, right? Every team is talking about every player with every other team. They're always kicking around these scenarios,
yep.
right? And nothing happens until it happens. So it's fun to talk about, and it's exciting, and it fills up Twitter feeds and column inches and all that
and
kind of stuff.
And creates on-field drama.
But at the end of the day,
that
don't get
guy.
Too caught up in any trade until there's a trade.
You know,
because there might not be a trade.
There was a lot of victims last night in this whole Gomez thing.
We're all victims, really.
Well, we were all victims, yes. But none more so than, obviously, Wilmer Flores.
I don't know.
I mean, Carlos Gomez was on his plane celebrating with his teammates, which was bizarre in itself looking back. But Wilmer Flores, obviously, who just had to go through, you know, a lot of emotional stuff there because that was just crazy. But Terry Collins and the Mets organization is getting killed during the game for not taking him out. And Terry Collins should have got out on the field. Remember when Sam Weiss grabbed the microphone and yelled at Bengals fans for being classless
yeah.
and to cut it out? Terry Collins should just, like, grab the mic and said, everybody stop. He's not traded. We didn't make a trade. It would have been hilarious.
But you know,
it was it was unbelievable how bad the Mets got roasted for this last night. And in the end, it had nothing to do with Terry Collins.
And
nothing.
First of all, credit to SNY. I was watching the game on the television.
Wonderful job.
For not pulling any punches.
Nope.
And for saying, yep, this is bizarre and awful.
Yeah.
And look.
And they thought he was traded too.
Right. And listen, all respect to Terry Collins.
Or that.
And Sandy Alderson and everybody else involved. We've talked about this on the show many, many times. You can't deny that players are human beings. And just because a guy is performing poorly, you can't say, well, his slider's not sliding as much or he's not commanding the strike zone. There are things that happen that we don't know about that affect players emotionally and, mm-hmm, and you know, their ability to focus and whatever. And it's Terry Collins' job as a manager. It's every manager's job to know if the player is able to go out there and perform.
Yep.
And Flores clearly, whether or not there was a trade, let's say there really was a trade,
uh-huh,
and he really was traded, you should get him off the field.
You got
Let's
it.
Say there was never a trade. The whole thing was a giant rumor that Casey Stern started.
All right? Damn you, Stern.
Shout out to Sterno.
Oh, Stern was hilarious.
Nobody's got a greater love-hate relationship with the Mets than
Sterno.
He was
hilarious.
Maybe our buddy Mark Healy. But let's say there never was a trade, right?
Uh-huh.
He's on the field crying.
Yeah.
He's not able to perform.
Yeah.
He's crying on the field.
Yep.
Collins, at a certain point, has to say, this guy cannot perform, and get him off the... Never mind the trade.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this guy? He's not in the game. I mean, we've seen players pulled for less, right? We've seen players pulled for not running out ground balls, right, for forgetting how many outs
there
are.
Did you see Pat Murphy last night?
Yeah.
The manager of the Padres? Right. Pulled Upton, and then in this post game, he pulled Upton, right, and Kemp. And his post game, he goes, oh, I just wanted to mess with you guys. Now, whether he was being sarcastic or... obviously, Upton and Kemp did not get dealt last night that we know of.
Yeah.
But Upton came out of the game in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
And, you know, now he's been banged up, and, you know, Kemp is always...
They were winning 7-2.
Yeah, they were winning 7-2. But he said, oh, yeah, I was just, like, you know, something to the effect of, I was just messing with you guys. So the problem is, and I was trying to explain this to my lovely wife, Natalie, because, you know, I knew what was going on, but I was downstairs. I come upstairs later on, and I put on MLB Tonight after the Yankee game had ended. I put on MLB Tonight. And they're talking about, that's all that anybody's talking about, is Wilmer Flores.
Yeah.
And she goes, this is disgusting. Like, she's going on this crazy rant. Half of it doesn't even make sense.
Natalie opinionated?
Yeah, exactly. So, my mom used to tell me when I was a pain in the butt growing up, she's like, I hope you marry somebody just like you, a real pain in the ass with a big mouth. And I was like, Mom, you jinxed me.
First you did a show with me, and then you married Natalie.
That's right.
It really worked out.
But anyway, she's like, you know, whatever. She was saying crazy stuff because she just didn't understand, you know, how it works with guys getting pulled out of the games or whatever. And I said, you know what, though? Think about it. This, I know the fans gave a standing ovation or whatever, but you know what happens all the time in baseball? All the time, guys go into the clubhouse to go to the bathroom or get a pack of gum or go on Instagram like Kung Fu Panda, and the TV is on. And the TV is usually used to be on ESPN. Now it's on MLB Network. And so they're seeing things. And I could just see Joe Schmo player goes in there, MLB Network's on. I'm not saying this is what happened, but this is clearly feasible. And sees that it says Wilmer Flores and, you know, Zach Wheeler traded for Carlos Gomez. And he comes out, and whoever he is, instead of going to, I don't know, your manager and saying, hey, Terry.
What's going on?
I need to tell you something. They go to the player. Hey, man, sorry to hear you've been traded. Like, think about that. If you were told that and then you go out on the field and everybody's clapping for you, wouldn't you be like, what the hell has just happened?
No,
I'm not coming out of the game.
Of course, I would doff my cap.
And why
cap
am I still in the game?
If everybody started cheering for me, I would doff my cap.
And for what?
But here's the...
Are they cheering for me because they're glad I'm leaving?
Right.
I mean, it's just like nuts.
Daniel Hudson of the Diamondbacks, you know, who's been, mm-hmm, traded twice,
yeah,
he tweeted out in response to the Flores thing. He said, before Twitter was even a thing,
mm-hmm,
I got traded twice and found out when people started texting me saying, hey, man, I heard you got traded.
Right.
And before his agent or the GM or anybody, right, even told him. That was before Twitter even.
Amazing.
I mean, it's crazy. But look, it boils down to this. There's no trade until there's a trade. Right. This is all fun and games.
Yep.
So let's talk about trades that have happened.
Okay.
And number two, I'm not going to rip Terry Collins, but if your player's not able to perform, that's the manager's job. I don't care if there's a trade.
But could he tell he was an emotional mess From the dugout?
I was reading it on the Twitter machine.
Yeah.
Okay, and my wife was watching the TV in the living room. Mm-hmm. And I walked in. I said, do you mind if I flip over to the Mets game for a second? So we put it on, and of course, all they're talking about is Flores, and right. they're doing isos on him whenever between
pitches. Terry Collins is staring on the field from 100
plus
feet away.
His face is beat red, and he's wiping his eyes and his nose with the back of his hand.
I understand.
And my wife says, why is that kid crying?
But she has the everybody had the, you know, the advantage of a close-up.
It's Collins.
I don't know if it would have looked like that from
the
dugout.
Is it not Collins' job to know that?
All right. Well,
this was going on and on. I mean, again, I'm not throwing him under the bus, but he came off and on the field a couple of times.
Well, his post-game press conference was tremendous.
Yeah, it was.
He went bonkers. And deservedly so.
And, you know, and Alderson comes right out and says, there is no trade. There never was a trade.
The hips don't lie, he said. Right. Did he say hips don't lie?
Right, so maybe there's a fantasy angle here after all.
Are we? Who wants Carlos Gomez?
Are we worried about Carlos Gomez now?
I'm not. I mean, he has been struggling. It made me go, because I have him on one of my teams, and I went and I've been playing him.
After 20 minutes, we got a fantasy baseball angle.
Yeah, there we go. I have him on one of my teams, and he has been struggling. I mean, he hasn't really done anything for a while now. Then again, Tua Whiskey was 0-20 before he started playing for the Blue Jays, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But if he doesn't get moved by the deadline, then yeah, I would be concerned, because then you can't trade for this guy now without seeing the same medical records. Obviously, Sandy saw and made him bail.
When?
But remember it. But we've seen guys. What was it, Grant Balfour? Like, got traded to Baltimore, fell through because of the physical, but then later on, right, and then signed with somebody else anyway.
I wonder when teams, and now we're just riffing.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder when teams see the medical reports, because if they, you know, if presumably they've been working on this trade for a while, they've probably been working on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an option that's been on the table for a week or more, I would imagine. And they started zeroing in on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
At what point do the Mets get to... Let's assume it was the Mets that backed out because of Gomez's hips. That's what we're reading now. Who knows if
that's... I thought Sandy admitted that.
All right. Okay, fine.
I thought he did.
At what point do they get to see his medical records? Wouldn't they have asked to see that early on? Wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah.
Or do they have to have a deal in principle before they're allowed to see it because of privacy concerns?
And that would make sense, too. I mean, that would make sense, too. And it's interesting because Jeff Breidich was on High Heat yesterday, and he was asked straight up, you know, again... 2-0 didn't come out until the ninth, and nobody knew why.
Yeah.
Right? Including 2-0. He looked like he was, like, stunned.
And they got ripped over that one, too.
So, Jeff Breidich said, he said, when that game started, there was no deal. He goes, nothing. And then he goes, over the course of a game, which, you know, 3 hours is a long time.
Yeah.
I can make a lot of deals in fantasy baseball in 3 hours, right? If given the time and somebody's picking up the phone or answering text or email, whatever. And so... So, to my point being that maybe they really didn't talk Gomez that much. Maybe.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it kind of just came out of, quote-unquote, nowhere. I mean, they had been linked to Gomez in the rumor mill.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just wondering when teams get to see medical reports that you would literally have a deal in principle and then it would blow up a half an hour later. Like, I think that would be one of the first things you'd want to see. You know the guy's got...
And you would think that is true, but I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, you make a good point about the Tula Whiskey Reyes deal coming together quickly. I wonder if that's the kind of thing where the Blue Jays are saying, "All right, we're willing to give up A, B, and C for this caliber of player."
Right.
So it wasn't necessarily we'll give these three prospects for Tulo and obviously Reyes.
It could have been Clarko.
It could just be
that it could have been Blackman.
Yeah, they had a framework in mind,
right.
And the first thing that came along and fit the framework. And like you said, when you do that in fantasy, you're like, "I'm willing to trade a top outfielder for a top starting pitcher."
Right, exactly.
And the guy comes along and says, "I'll give you price for Harper."
Right.
And you look at it and you say, throw in this piece, throw in that piece, boom, we got a deal.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Again, and one thing Breidich did say, though, too, he goes, they did discuss Reyes and 2-0 at winter meetings, which I found very interesting.
Well, that's probably why it came together quickly.
Yeah, right. So, there you go. Anyway, all right.
Well, speaking of Tulo,
he had a pretty good night last night. Absolutely just destroyed that pitch by Jerome Williams.
Did you see Jerome Williams hang his head?
Oh my
God.
One of the all-time great head hangers. 2-0 and the Hawk to the Blue Jays for Reyes, obviously. Miguel Castro, who was on the radar in fantasy for sure earlier this season, possibly even as the closer of the future or the present, but that didn't pan out, and now he's a Rocky. Jeff Hoffman, who people are very, very high on, but he's coming off TJ, correct?
Last year, yep.
Yeah, and then Tinoco.
Jesus Tinoco.
And then Buck Martinez said that Hoffman reminded him of a young Roy Halladay.
Yeah, you know, Hoffman.
So just high praise.
Hoffman, Tinoco, Castro, all three right-handers, all three throw very hard.
Yep.
Hoffman is said to get up near 100. Tinoco is the biggest ground baller of the bunch. Jonathan Mayo and I talked about this yesterday. Tinoco ground ball rate about 1.8 throughout the minor leagues, which is really impressive. But really what this boils down to is the Rockies trying to get power arms that, you know, throughout the history of that franchise, they've never really been able to successfully develop starting pitchers. You know, their best pitchers they've ever developed, Ubaldo Jimenez, Jeff Francis, you know, mid to end of rotation kind of guys. You know, it's a little bit of an odd move to me, taking back Reyes. I mean, I guess, the Blue Jays probably thinking, if we're going to take Tulo's contract, we have to get rid of Reyes's contract because obviously we don't need two shortstops. And then Colorado can turn around and presumably deal Reyes for something else at some point, whether in the short term or the long term. But, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, I don't really think it changes anything that much for either guy. Tulo goes from the best hitting park in baseball to the best hitting park in the AL.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if he'll stick at leadoff. I think that was because Devon Travis needed the day. But either way, that's a great offense that just got better. Reyes leaves the best offense in baseball, but he goes to the best hitter's park in baseball. He's hitting behind Charlie Blackman, who's having a good year. They've got Nolan Arenado. They still have Cargo for the time being. Mm-hmm. He's hitting in the core of the good part of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I think for these two guys, it really doesn't change things that much. To me, this is more of a quote-unquote baseball trade than a fantasy trade.
And NL only, where you get to keep guys' stats for the rest of the year if they leave the league. I just traded for Tulo last week, and I was not disappointed at all that he ended up in Toronto.
Yeah.
If he would have ended up in Oakland, you know, right. I would have been like, all right, well, maybe I shouldn't have.
Right.
But and obviously yesterday's it's not going to go, you know, bonkers every night like this, but he's going to hit. And if he stays healthy, I worry about that turf on him, but
if
he stays healthy, I think he'll put up very solid last 2 months.
And same with Reyes. You know, Toronto, you know, they'll run, but they're not what you would call a running team.
Right.
Colorado will run. So he may get more stolen base opportunities with the Rockies than he did with the Blue Jays. You saw that in his first game with the Rockies yesterday. Singled and then got caught stealing his first time and then walked and stole later in the game on a back end of a double steal with Blackman, who's up to 28 steals now. Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Reyes might run a little bit more, and this could be a little bump for his fantasy value too. Like you said, getting off the turf onto the grass. So, you know, this could be one of those things where it's a win-win.
Breaking news. It actually happened about 40 minutes ago. But we are taping this, by the way, in the 10 a.m. hour Eastern Standard Time. The Cleveland Indians have acquired left-handed pitcher Rob Kaminsky, all 20 years old.
Broke into this talk for this deal?
Yep. From the St. Louis Cardinals in exchange for Brandon Moss.
Yeah, well, with Matt Adams out for the year, with Mark Reynolds struggling, with Holiday injured again, the Cardinals needed another bat, so they get Brandon Moss. Decent power, not going to hit for average, you know, low-impact fantasy deal. Kaminsky's a big-time prospect, so it's a nice get for the Indians, who have also traded off David Murphy. So, you know, they're starting to retool.
This brings up a good point, because in a keeper, and I wanted to make sure we got this in, so I'll do it now.
Right. The show sheet is out the window right now.
But Kaminsky is the...
the plum?
Is the spark that lit this flame.
Oh,
on Friday, which is tomorrow...
Or maybe it's today, depending on when you're listening to the podcast.
All right, whatever.
Maybe yesterday.
On Friday or Saturday or Sunday, whenever Fab comes up in your league, if you are in a non-mixed, more specifically, if you are in an AL only, you are going to have the ability, as of now, to bid on Johnny Cueto,
right?
Troy Tulowitzki, and I'm forgetting something, somebody very enormous.
Potentially.
Oh, Cole Hamels. Potentially
Cole Hamels. Again,
let's just assume Cole Hamels. For argument's sake, let's assume Cole Hamels.
Yep.
So how do you approach that? I think this is part of the, this is maybe, besides draft day, you know, Fab is obviously a very big part of winning your championship, but this is where this is for all the marbles, Fab.
Right.
This is why you save your money, and then how do you make it work?
Well, I think what it boils down to is you bid the nut. You bid what you have on the guy who you think is the one you need the most. You know, unless you've got all $100 left or 100% of your Fab money, you know, and everybody else has $20,
right.
Unless you mathematically know you can beat out everybody for the rest of these players, you have to pick the one guy that matters the most and put your bid on him. and then put the other two guys as your second and third choices. But to try and spread your money and get all three,
I think that's a mistake people make.
Right, because, and again, you know, the numbers will tell you. Let's say you've got the most money. Let's say you've got $85 left, mm-hmm. and the next guy has $76 left. I'm bidding $77 on the guy I think will help me the most.
Sure.
And just, I'm taking him. You don't want to overplay. You know, it's like if you get dealt wired aces in a hand of poker, the worst thing you can do is try and string bet and get everybody to come in. Just win the hand.
Right.
You know, if you've got a winning hand, yep. then win the hand. Yep. You never lose by winning. So if you mathematically have an opportunity to get one of these guys and you can outbid everybody else, you got to get him. Now, the other side of the coin is if you're in the middle of the pack in fab money and you know other people can outbid you, then you have to read the tea leaves a little bit more and say, all right, this guy needs a pitcher. He's going to go heavy on Hamels. This guy needs a bat. You try and figure out how to deploy your money a little bit more tactically.
Sure.
But if you've got the hammer, now is the time to use it. Don't wait around and try and get cute.
And the, you know, everything that you just heard is, you know, what it really takes to win your league, you know, especially in a non-mix with FAB. I mean, you have to be ready to put some work in. You just can't. Now, if the only guy that comes over is Tulowitzki and you're in an AL only and you have the 91 and that's what it takes. You just, here you go. I just got Troy Tulowitzki.
You've got nothing else to save.
It's just money. But, you know, when you have this balance and you're in the middle of the pack, it's hard to resist the saying, oh, I'll just do, you know, 45 and 45 and I'll get one guy. Maybe I'll get two. A lot of times you'll get zero.
Zero.
And then now you're stuck with, you know, your thumb in your mouth and waiting to see what else happens.
And you think about it too. If you're second and third or fab, you're looking at the guy who's got the most fab. Right. Why was he saving it?
Right, exactly.
One of two reasons. Either he wasn't paying attention.
Right, which is possible.
Or she wasn't paying attention. Let's be fair. This is the 21st century.
Yes, it is.
He or she was not paying attention. Or he or she was saving it for this very moment. I want to make sure I have the hammer when that big player comes over and I'm going to spend what it takes.
But even if the person wasn't paying attention, the kind of news that comes out this week wakes you up. And you're like, oh.
You hope.
And you're like, oh, I can get Troy Tulowitzki now, you know? And, oh, I can get Cole Hamels now or Johnny Cueto now.
And here's the other thing.
So it doesn't really matter.
Let's say for argument's sake, you're out of it. You're right. A rebuilding team.
Absolutely.
But you've got the most money.
Do it.
Still get the player.
Absolutely.
Even if you can't keep him, now you have an incredible trade chip.
I think it's almost more important to do that. I think you almost more, in a weird way, you're just as, you know,
incentivized,
uh-huh. inclined, all that stuff to do it because that's how you get in the mix. That's right. How you change things up. You shake things up, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. And by the way, you benefit. For next year.
Yeah. See, my AL only, NL only, the sister leagues I played in for a long time, mm-hmm. we had a rule that any player you acquired, I don't know if it was after a certain date or via interleague trade or something like that, instantly went to the last year of their contract. So that way, you know, whoever bid the most would get that guy, but it prevented one team from hoarding their money and basically leveraging that into better keepers.
Right.
So, you know, if Tulowitzki comes over in an AL only league, you can bid whatever it takes to get him, but he's immediately in the last year of your contract, so he's an expiring asset. And that
sure.
maintains a little bit more
right. power. And it puts players back in the draft pool.
Right, which is what you want.
Right, okay. All right, so that was the two
right. so
deal.
We got
that
so
is
we
the
checked
fab.
Off one deal. We checked off Moss. We talked about the Wilmer Flores trade.
Yes, we did. Well, the trade that never was.
It wasn't.
As he wasn't.
All right. So Goose put together a fantastic show sheet for us.
Yeah.
And now that you've like gone from the top to the middle to stuff that didn't happen.
Well, let's go back to the top.
All right. Do it.
Johnny Cueto. And cash. You want to talk about cash? To the Royals for Brandon Finnegan, Cody Reed, and John Lamb. Reed, number 8 on the Reds prospect list. Lamb, number 20 on the Reds prospect list. And this deal, you know, this was a little naive, but careless, I should say, trying to figure out who the Royals were willing to give up to get Cueto. And shame on me for not thinking, well, what about major league talent, which Finnegan is.
Mm-hmm.
They just have had a weird thing with him with bouncing him back and forth, stretching him out, whatever. And it's kind of popped its head up again now with the rumors that the Yankees are going after Price, that it might not have anything to do with Bird, Judge, Severino, Ref Snyder, whoever. It actually may have something to do with Ivan Nova. mm-hmm. being a centerpiece. So it gets you, you know, we got to start thinking more about looking at the major league level and not just dropping down the prospect.
Cost control. And, you know, let's think about it too. This was the first big deal that happened. I mean, there were a couple of other deals. This is the one that set the bar for the Tulowitzki trade. All right. Yep. Three pitching prospects for that top guy.
Yep.
And again, the Cole Hamels trade is a rumor right now, but I think that's going to make it harder for the Tigers to trade David Price
mm-hmm.
because the Phillies, I mean, you know, everybody's been picking on Ruben Amaro for a long time. What's rumored coming back to the Phillies is a really big return.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to make it a little bit harder for some of these other deals to happen because the bar just got raised. But as far as this deal goes, you know, the Royals, their rotation's been a problem this year. Yordano Ventura hasn't progressed. You know, the end of rotation guys haven't been good. Danny Duffy has regressed. They needed that postseason ace to really, you know, sort of set things up for October. So great deal for the Royals getting a big piece. And in return, they give up three, you know, just like the Blue Jays did, they give up three power arms, all lefties, interestingly enough.
Yep.
Finnegan, you talked about, will go to the minors and be stretched out to start.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Reed, they think has a chance, John Lamb, they think has a chance to join the Reds rotation right away.
Yep.
Power lefty who had TJ a couple of years ago and has bounced back. And Cody Reed is more of a long-term play. But, you know, the Reds needed to restock. They've actually got some good arms coming up, you know, with Lorenzen and other guys like that. You know, they've got Singrani.
Now it looks like they might put Singrani in there.
Right, so the Reds have sort of rebuilt their starting, you know, their pitching depth, and, you know, without hurting their offense because they need to acquire bats, frankly, as well.
Right.
So, you know, again, this is a good baseball deal. Fantasy-wise, I think it helps Cueto. He goes from, you know, obviously the hitter's park into the better's pitcher's park. He goes to the tougher league, although the leagues are a little closer this year. Great bullpen, you know, great defensive team. I think this is a small bump for him in value. And now with Finnegan, Reed, and Lamb, you've got some fresh arms to look at that, you know, in your keeper leagues.
Yeah.
You know, hey, look, pick up Brandon Finnegan for a buck, John Lamb for a buck.
I drafted Finnegan in a keeper league, and I kept him on my roster all year long. As a Finnegan owner, I'm happy about this. I think this fast tracks the ability for us to see, is this guy really going to be a good major league starter?
Right.
Or is he just going to be a guy that comes in and in middle relief but does good things? You know, like, not like a Betances necessarily, but you know what I mean. But they got to stop messing around with him. Hopefully the Reds just say, you're a starter, get stretched out for a couple weeks, you're going in on rotation.
I think
that's the hope.
So KC's other deal now, I really like this one.
Yeah, this is a good one too. Ben Zobrist to the Royals for Aaron Brooks and Sean Manea. I hope I was saying that right. It's either Manea or Manea. He was number
two.
He was number two on our top 30 for the Royals. So the Royals, their number one was Mondesi Jr. Number two is this young man right here, the left-handed pitcher, who now goes over to Oakland. And, you know, you would think with Kazmir gone and all that stuff, has a chance to maybe get a look, if not later this year, than next year.
Yeah, definitely a guy to keep a look on down the road. Aaron Brooks is more of like a rotation filler kind of guy, but Manea is the prospect here. I love this deal. You know, we talk about fantasy deals being a zero-sum game. You know, the Cueto deal, I think, is a win-win. The Tulo deal, I think, is a win-win. This is a huge win for Ben Zobrist.
Mm-hmm.
He goes from, you know, let's be fair, KC is a good pitcher's park.
Yeah.
But Oakland is the goodest pitcher's park. I mean, it's as good as it gets. KC will use him all over the field. He'll play some second base in place of Infante. He'll play some left field, some right field. You know, fill in left while Gordon is out. Take some starts in right field from Rios.
Yep.
But here's the most important thing. Casey is a running offense. Ben Zobrist steals last 6 years. You ready? Starting with a career high 24, 19, 14, 11, 10. This year, one. One steal.
Trending downward, I would say.
You could say that. So I'm not saying he's suddenly going to become Jerod Dyson, but this could mean a half dozen steals the rest of the way for Ben Zobrist rather than one or two.
Right.
That's a bump in value. So I really like this for Zobrist from a fantasy standpoint.
All right, let's look at some of these other trades. The Mets actually did make a trade, earlier. They got Tyler Clippard from Oakland for right-handed pitcher Casey Meisner, who was, is now a highly rated prospect on the team level. They also traded John Gant and Rob Whalen to the Braves for Juan Uribe, Kelly Johnson, and Cash.
All right, so Tyler Clippard was the A's closer. Superficially, he was having a pretty good year, but under the surface, there's some concerns there. Career low strikeout rate, career worst walk rate, very lucky BABIP, very lucky left on base percentage.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit in decline this year, so he's going from pitcher's park to pitcher's park. Now he's going to the easier league. he'll set up for the Mets. You know, Familia has struggled a little bit lately, but he'll continue to be the closer. Clippard could get some saves the rest of the way, but I think he's been living on borrowed time. So this really kills 90% of his fantasy value. And because of the way his peripherals have struggled, frankly, if I'm in a mixed league and I have him, I'm cutting him at this point. The interesting thing to me is the A's bullpen now.
Yeah.
We just assumed Sean Doolittle would be back, and he's still not back.
Right.
Eduard Mujica becomes the closer. This is the guy that everybody thought would take the job for the Red Sox in the beginning of the year.
Yep.
He resurfaces. He's been pitching okay. Fernando Rodriguez, the journeyman, ex-Astro, ex-Angel, he's having a great year, 39-11 strikeout to walk rate in 30 2/3 innings. So Mujica is the short-term pickup, but in AL-only leagues, I might throw a bucket Rodriguez and see what pans out there. Oakland, for all I know, could turn around and flip Mujica, because now, by dealing away Kazmir, by dealing away Clippard, by dealing away Zobrist, they're retooling. You know, you could see more moves coming out of Oakland. So this kills Clippard's value, and suddenly Mujica and Rodriguez are attracting fab dollars.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it could be a similar situation should, say, well, I guess if Kimbrel gets moved in San Diego, they do have Benoit.
Right.
But if Chapman gets moved in Cincinnati, you could get a little bit of a hodgepodge there too, which Dylan and Steve addressed very, very well on the podcast last week. So I recommend going back and listening to that, where they did some speculation and some dominoes falling as well.
Yeah, it's just quickly about Uribe and Johnson, you know, two versatile pieces to boost an offense that's really been struggling. Johnson can play left, can play third, can pitch in, fill in at second if need be. Uribe, very good defensive third baseman. And it's funny that this is the deal that essentially made Wilmer Flores expendable,
right?
Because they don't really trust him defensively at shortstop. And the Brewers, having traded Aramis Ramirez, need a third baseman.
Yep.
It all kind of made sense.
Yep.
And then, you know, the hips didn't lie.
Nope, they didn't. What do you think about Aramis to back to Pittsburgh?
You know, the Pirates needed some offensive help with all the injuries they've had. Ramirez is on the way out, only a 701 OPS this year, so... You know, I don't think this really helps his value, and he's kind of in decline, kind of on the way out anyway. Hernan Perez will temporarily fill in at third for the Brewers. Not a lot to see here, but he averaged 25 steals a year in his last 4 years in the minors. So unless they go out and get a Wilmer Flores or someone else, this could be a short-term boost in NL-only leagues.
Yeah, I had him when because he filled in for Segura at short, I believe. And
he did,
and I don't think he did too much. Maybe had one nice game. Can't steal first kind of deal.
Ouch.
Ouch. Ouch. Victorino. And 800 other outfielders went to the Angels the past couple of days. And then, you know, I in my head, I'm like, okay, they're loading up on some outfielders. So maybe, again, the Finnegan example, trade from the major league level of talent. I'm thinking, okay, maybe they're going to trade Calhoun or a Crone type from the major league roster to as a centerpiece to try to get a Hamels or somebody like that. And then obviously plus prospects and all that stuff. But now it looks like they just want to get a really solid platoon going there with Murphy and Victorino or DeJesus. One of those lefties has to be on the bench. And now also, you know, Trout's a little banged up with that wrist. It looks like he's going to be okay, but he's missed two games in a row now.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, Murphy and Victorino become a pretty decent platoon. Matt Joyce's time in Anaheim is presumably over now.
Bye.
DeJesus will DH a little bit. You know, he can share some time in the outfield. So now they at least have depth to work from.
Right.
They don't have a permanent solution, but they have depth. You know, Victorino, he's worth a buck in AL-only leagues.
Sure.
He was hitting a little bit when he was healthy. He can hit lefties. Murphy having a very nice year, has a little bit of pop, might steal a base here and there. Mm-hmm. Both these guys worth a buck in AL-only leagues. But in mixed leagues, I don't think there's really a lot to see here.
All right, real quick before we get to lightning round on the Twitter questions, and we'll get to them all. You know, this whole – let's just give you the Philly stuff really quick on what it's – rumored to be.
Well, let's do the deal the Phillies did make, because this one's interesting.
Oh, that's right. They traded Jonathan Papelbon to the Nationals. I'm sorry. I missed that one. For Nick Pivetta, who was a number is now the number 10 Phillies prospect. Yeah, Papelbon, obviously a big blow to Drew Storen, and boy, did he let you know.
Oh, yeah. And you know, Papelbon said, I'm only going to be the closer. I have a no-trade clause.
Yep.
I want assurances that I'm going to be the closer before I accept a trade.
Absolutely.
But apparently he also told the Nationals, you need to go talk to Drew Storen before I approve this deal, because I don't want to come in and be enemies with Drew Storen. So
how'd that work out?
You know, Storen, maybe his beef isn't with Papelbon, if you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
Storen was having an unbelievable year. I mean, it is kind of a surprising deal. Tied for third in the majors with 29 saves, 5-1 strikeout to walk rate with 46 Ks and 37 a third. Unbelievable year. You know, Papelbon, a little bit of a quieter year. And this is a guy that, it's funny, a lot of us in the fantasy world have been betting against Papelbon for a couple of years as this, you know, the velocity goes down or whatever. 17 out of 17 save chances this year, 40-8 strikeout to walk rate in 39 and 2/3 innings. Dude gets it done, man. The guy is a good pitcher. So this helps his value because he's going to a better team. He'll see more save chances. Storen's trade value or fantasy value presumably is crushed. You know, maybe in deeper leagues you hold on to him to see if he gets the occasional vulture save here or there. But, I mean, it's just a crushing loss for his fantasy value. And Ken Giles, the closer in waiting, finally becomes the closer.
Yep.
54 strikeouts in 44 and 2/3 innings, but beware, 20 walks.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't assume that he'll become an elite closer. I'll view him as like a second-tier type of closer until he establishes himself a little bit. But you know what? Guys throw 100 in short relief. You generally like their chances as a closer. Right.
And I mean, now in a keeper league, he's establishing his value now, working out all the kinks. Now you're getting all these free saves.
Yeah.
And next year you may have a somewhat elite guy, if not an elite guy.
And I'll tell you what, you know, you mentioned in fab bidding, there are four closer jobs that have changed hands just this week. Oakland, Philadelphia, Washington, and the other one I'm forgetting. Oh, apparently the Cubs.
Right.
Now, as it looks like Jason Mott is out and Rondon is back in, although who the heck knows really there. Right. Could you imagine all these guys being free agents? And if there's a rumored trade, so let's not get too far down the line, Jim Johnson might be going to the Dodgers in this three-way deal, which would presumably make Aradas Vizcaíno the Braves' closer, or maybe even David Ardsma, who's got the Scarlet C from past experience.
Yep.
This many potential closers or setup relievers, imagine if, you know, if they're all available. I mean, a lot of these guys were picked up over the last couple of weeks for various reasons. There's a lot of potential fab bidding on saves that could happen this week.
But you know what, guys never lose their closer jobs when they get traded?
Craig Kimbrell.
The elite guys.
Kenley Jansen.
Another reason number 800 to draft really good closers.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that we don't even view...
And don't tell me Storen was. Please, don't tell me Storen was this elite guy, whatever.
But that's the funny thing.
He became one this year.
We in fantasy didn't view Papelbon as an elite guy, but he's got the Scarlet C.
But Papelbon was coming off a really good year.
And having a really good year.
Yeah.
And has the Scarlet C.
Yeah.
And has the no trade clause.
Storen was not the closer last year.
No, he wasn't.
Untuck.
He's been the closer in
past. And Clipper was on that team.
Right. He's been the closer in the past, but he had the arm problems, came back, reestablished himself. Sure. No, but he was definitely not an elite closer.
Right. So I don't want to hear that Storen, that oh my God, I can't believe Storen's, you know, lost his closer job. To me, it's apples and oranges.
It's surprising to me only because of the way he's pitched this year.
No, I get it.
No,
I get
but
it.
Clearly the track record wasn't the same as
before. Well, what you read, I would say the most is that Storen has been prone to mistakes in the postseason.
Then again, so is Clayton Kershaw, so let's be a little fair about that, shall we?
Yes, we shall. So if this is in fact true, Hamels and Jake Diekman to the Rangers for a boatload of prospects, two of them who are top 70 in baseball, according to MLB.com's Jonathan Mayo and Jim Callis, and plus you get Matt Harrison. So, you know, interesting. Hamels, obviously elite, going to the AL. You never really liked that too much, but I don't think you really have to be too worried about him. Matt Harrison? Got some value, maybe has a little bit more in the NL?
Yeah, you know, just, you know, we generally view the AL as the tougher league for pitchers. Mm-hmm. This year, AL league-wide ERA is 389, 375 in the NL.
Mm-hmm.
League OPS in the American League, 720, 704 in the NL.
Mm.
But remember, that includes DHs in the AL and pitchers in the NL.
Yeah.
So structure, just on terms of pure talent, the NL is actually a little bit of the tougher league.
Sure.
But structurally, that's what gives the AL the tougher offense.
Right. You're facing better hitters 1-8, but you're not getting the break like you do
exactly.
in the NL.
Exactly. So Hamels goes from a hitter's park to a hitter's park. So he's established he can handle that. Career high strikeout to walk rate, strikeout rate this year. Strong ground ball lean. Great offensive support. The Rangers have rebuilt that offense, you know, with Moreland coming back, with Rougned Odor finally breaking through, with Fielder having a great bounce back year. So I think this is definitely a plus for Hamels, if it happens.
Right, if it happens. And if this Dodgers-Marlins-Brave trade happens, to me the big winner is Matt Latos. Yeah. Absolutely on fire since seemingly finally healing and coming back and being okay. He's out of his mind, but he gets no run support. So
don't forget.
Going to L.A., nice.
Up until a year, let's say the end of the 2013 season, we viewed Matt Latos as a soft ace.
Yeah, I know.
And
oh,
because
I know
of the injuries and everything last year and the slow start and the injuries this year, he's a little bit of a forgotten man.
Yep.
The velocity's back. His stuff's been exceptional.
Yep.
And as you said, his last seven or eight starts have been excellent. Put him not only in a good pitcher's park, but the better run support the Dodgers offer.
Kenley Jansen.
Yeah. The Dodgers' bullpen hasn't been great,
but
you know, yeah, it's still going to be a win for him if it happens.
Yeah, if it happens. Okay, so, and who knows what developed while you were listening to this podcast, but there's a long way to go. There's a long way to go. 24-plus hours is a long, long time in trade deadline land. All right, Twitter questions and then some housekeeping. We'll wrap this puppy up. At Luigi Garcia writes, trade Brandon Crawford and Joaquin Soria for Andrew Miller?
I think it's a fair value deal because you're definitely getting the upgrade from Soria to Miller,
sure,
and also hedging against the possibility of Soria getting traded and not even being the closer.
Correct.
This is a high price to pay. Let's be clear. Brandon Crawford has been the best shortstop in baseball this year,
yeah,
all things considered.
Having a great year.
His OPS at the time of the Tulowitzki trade was 1 point lower than Tulo's OPS, but he's doing that in San Francisco, and he's an exceptional defensive player. You're trading a lot here, but the way I view it is you're basically trading a plus offensive shortstop for an elite closer. You're giving up a closer, but you're hedging the fact that he might lose it. So it's a high price to pay, but I think it's a good deal.
At RK Ran Winkle, Worth or Belt rest of season?
I have both of these guys in tout wars. Worth, it's been a lost season. Belt, frankly, has been a disappointment after that huge run that he had in May. I would stick with Belt, though, just because, you know, Worth, with the injuries at the start of the season, the poor start, now coming off a broken wrist, you don't know what he's going to be.
Right.
If I had to bet on one or the other, it would be Belt, simply because at least I know the guy's healthy.
Yep, I agree. At Mark_Caesar, trade Cargo and Gio for Bumgarner.
Well, look, I don't know if anybody noticed, but the last month or so, Carlos Gonzalez has been Carlos Gonzalez.
Yeah, he's an animal right
now. I think he's got 9 homers this month. He's not going to steal anymore. We knew that was a possibility, but right now he's playing like an elite bat. The concern you have to have is if he gets traded, which is a possibility in the next, hold on, help me out with this, 29 hours as of this taping, you know, that could hurt his value. You know, he is a Coors Field hitter. So I like the idea of trading a bat to get the upgrade from Gio to Bumgarner. There's just a lot of risk reward in trading Cargo, so I don't know if I would do this one.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Gio's no Bumgarner, but he's not a slouch. He's maddening to own. I have him. Because sometimes he goes out and throws seven innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 run, 2 walks. And the next time he'll face a lesser opponent on paper and go 5 innings and give up 5 runs and strike out nobody. So, I mean, he's definitely an enigma wrapped in a riddle, shrouded in a mystery.
Listen to you, silver-tongued devil.
But he's no slouch. Let's not make him as some cast-off. And to be fair, you do have to give him up to get Bumgarner.
Oh, don't sell him short. He's a tremendous slouch.
At S0246, who's the better stash in a deep 5x5? Desmond Jennings, Marcell Ozuna, Josh Harrison, or Steve Matz?
Well, if it's a mixed league, as we know, so
sure,
I'm really not sweating Steven Matz all that much. No offense to Steven Matz. I've kind of moved on from Desmond Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointment after disappointment, injury after injury. Marcell Ozuna had a great year last year, but we've seen the damage of that terrible plate discipline, the ballpark hurting him. I'd go with Josh Harrison.
Yeah.
You know, got off to a terrible start, but was really hitting well before he got hurt. Multiple position eligibility, although he might not have that next year, might be third base only. Will hit for average, has a little pop, will steal some bags. I like Harrison.
Okay. I have no problem with that. All right, moving on to, at F. Gonzalez 7478, should I trade Kyle Seager and Trout for Kershaw and Todd Frazier? That's a blockbuster.
This is a blockbuster. So let's sort of break it down one-to-one. Trout for Kershaw, no matter what world you live in, you have to call this a step down in terms of just overall value. It's maybe the number one fantasy player, or at worst, the number two fantasy player, you know, with Paul Goldschmidt being what he is. You're stepping down to the number one fantasy pitcher. Kershaw's being Kershaw. You know, I mean, his last few starts have been unbelievable. You assume he's an elite guy from here on out. Seager to Frazier is definitely a step up. But the question is, are you willing to take the step down on your offense to get that elite pitcher and get Frazier? I think it's fair value. It just scares me so much to trade Mike Trout because of everything he does. You know, he's not driving in a ton of runs, but he's still on pace for, 100 run RBIs. You know, he's not stealing as much, but he's still on a pace for 18 steals or something like that. Hits for average. Could lead the major leagues in home runs, scores a ton of runs. I mean, it's fair value. I would just be scared to do this.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. At Philly Smitty 22, Pollock or Blackman rest of season?
A lot to like here. I have Pollock in a couple of leagues. I bought early and bought heavy. I traded for Blackman in the 411 Listener League. I would probably lean towards Blackman because of how aggressively he's been running lately, and I think he has a little bit more power. That's not to say I don't like Pollock. I like him a lot, but I think Blackman just overall profiles a little bit better.
Okay. At Mofry, Devin Travis or Joe Panik rest of season, 12-team mixed.
Interesting.
Keeper, and a keeper.
I saw a stat, it was yesterday or the day before, that all four of the Giants' four regular infielders had an OPS between 815 and 820. Belt, Panik, Crawford, and Duffy. They were all 816, 819, 817. Joe Panik, what a surprising, fantastic year. Same with Devin Travis.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's fair value based on what we've done so far. You maybe have a little bit of skepticism on both guys going forward. I'd probably lean towards Travis because I like the lineup in the ballpark better. But both of these guys have been impressive so far and deserve the praise for it.
Yeah, I agree, but I'll go with Travis as well. And finally, at Balaban 123 Mike, trade Hanley Ramirez and Jose Fernandez for Jose Bautista and Hector Santiago?
I get it, but I'm telling you why I don't do this deal. I have Hector Santiago in Mixed Tout Wars, and as good as he's been, I've watched him pitch, I do not trust him.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that on any given day, he's sort of like Gio Gonzalez. On any given day, he can strike out 10 right. people. The next time out, he might struggle to get through five because he's walking the park. Jose Fernandez.
Is Santiago leading the American League in ERA?
He might be.
I'm going to look that up.
But his last two starts last week was a two-start week for him. He only lasted five innings in each start because his pitch counts were so high. Jose Fernandez is pitching like Jose Fernandez. He's mixing in a little slider this year to go with that breaking ball.
He's wonderful.
I understand your concerns about Hanley. I know that you want to get Bautista, but I'm just worried about that Fernandez to Santiago part. I think I would sit tight.
All right. Your pitching, your ERA in the majors, obviously, is Mr. Greinke. Your Sonny Gray, and now, I guess, Kazmir. Where was Santiago? Oh, he's top 10. He's top 10. He has a lower ERA than Kershaw, Price, Archer, Cueto.
Yeah, but who would you take?
Sale? No,
but from
I'm
now
kidding.
To the end of the season, who do you take?
Of course. I mean, it's just funny.
You would take Santiago over none of those guys.
Yep. Well, again, but it goes. But how about this? It goes back to show you don't overpay for pitching.
Right.
Shelby Miller, number 6 in baseball.
Santiago I got for $8 in.
Carlos Martinez, top 10.
$8 free agent bid in mixed out.
AJ Burnett, by the way, top 20 in ERA.
Yeah.
Who else? Chris Heston. Has a lower ERA than Madison Bumgarner.
I'll tell you what, Scott Pianowski nailed this one. After the Heston no-hitter, everybody said sell high, blah, blah, blah. He's got like a 265 ERA since the no-hitter. I mean, something crazy like that.
Crazy.
Scott Piano from Yahoo.com.
All right, there we go. That'll do it, but I will do the housekeeping on the way out. The Fantasy Twitter handle, at Fantasy411. Don't forget to check out all the great content. Like the closer report and the injury report and all the columns and the Twitter chats that Fred Zinke and crew take care of on the fantasy homepage on MLB.com. You can follow Corey at Schwartstops. You can follow Fred at Fred Zinke MLB. You can follow the Goose at Zach MLB. The blog is fantasy411.mlblogs.com where you get your pitcher ditch and your two-start pitchers report for the week ahead. Don't forget the StatCast podcast that is now live with Mike Petriello and friends. Very good podcast to start downloading and listening to and to learn about fantasy baseball as well. And as always, thanks to my partner on the left, Corey Stats-Schwartz, and everyone on the other side of the glass. This has been the MLB.com Fantasy 411.